Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, I share ideas and strategies and blueprints. I tell stories. I share the big mistakes I've made on this journey as well. Before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's coming up here really soon. I am going to be doing a series of articles and podcasts on this idea of vintage innovation. And vintage innovation is the name of the book that I'm going to be releasing in January as well. And so I just thought I would tell you it's been a couple of years since I've done a book, and it's coming out here in January. I want to begin with this idea of vintage innovation by sharing a classroom story from when I was in middle school. So picture this. I'm this scrawny, awkward, pimply kid in the eighth grade. I think it might have actually been seventh grade. It's middle school. And my teacher calls the entire classroom up to the front of the room. He holds up this shiny disc with wild excitement in his eyes, and he says, "This will change education forever." I mean, he's smiling, he's intense, he's excited. And it continues, "Someday you'll be able to pick up one of these discs and learn exactly what you need to learn. No more taking notes from a teacher. You won't have to learn from someone like me." Now, I felt uneasy about learning from a golden disc instead of a human. See, I liked my teacher. I liked how he would change his explanations on the spot just by reading our body language. I liked the way he would make us laugh. I liked the way he sometimes was inefficient in how he delivered instruction, because he would get off topic talking about random things that we asked him and telling stories that weren't in the textbook. Why would I want to replace him with a golden disc? "This is the future of education, kids," he said with a grin. This will change things forever. But it did not change education forever. In fact, I haven't seen a laser disc in probably 3 decades, and I'm pretty confident that my own kids' teachers will not be replaced by golden discs. Not now, not ever. And yet, I've seen this sentiment all around in different iterations. I've watched as one-to-one devices and laptops and adaptive learning programs have all promised to replace teachers. In a few years, it'll just be AI. You'll get a Siri-style assistant or Alexa-style one, and it'll answer all student questions with exact and absolute precision, free of the messy mistakes that a teacher might make. But I don't buy it. Teaching will always be a deeply relational endeavor filled with mistakes and missteps and false starts. And that's the beauty of being a teacher. It's that human connection that we all have. And I mention this because I think this is sort of the false premise of futurism. Now, it's true that our world is changing. The prevalence of social media means that our students will grow up with a worldview shaped by algorithms as much as families or neighborhoods. Meanwhile, robotics and automation continue to replace manufacturing jobs, and rapid prototyping is now easier than ever. We're just beginning to see what can happen with automation and machine learning. Virtual reality is still in its infancy, but we can't even predict what it will mean in terms of how we perceive our world. Moreover, our students will enter a world where artificial intelligence will replace a significant number of analytical jobs. And we can't even begin to understand, much less predict, what the future will hold when it comes to things like advanced robotics and nanotechnology. In the face of these rapid changes, it's easy to say, let's prepare students for the future. The old way of learning is obsolete and bad. Let's transform schools into places that are cutting edge and new. And maybe add some high-tech makerspaces, launch some coding classes. Let's teach kids how to use that 3D printer. Let's teach them how to use augmented reality and virtual reality. make sure every single student learns to master coding. But here's the thing. I would argue that that misses the truth. Here's the counterintuitive reality we see. If we want to prepare students for the future, we shouldn't focus solely on the future. As a teacher, I've seen the promise of interactive whiteboards and personalized learning programs and one-to-one netbooks. And all of these were supposed to revolutionize education. And years later, many of these gadgets are now obsolete. The reality is we are quite bad at predicting the future. There's a great book called from Philip Tetlock called Super Forecasters, and it's all about this idea of just how wrong the experts get it when it comes to predicting the future. But we do know something else, that certain strategies will never be obsolete. Deep conversations, meaningful collaboration, epic projects, creative thinking, curiosity, these are the strategies that will help students become adaptable and nimble and able to iterate. If you think divergently and make connections between unrelated ideas, they'll actually be able to change more quickly. Now, this is the idea at the heart of vintage innovation. It's the idea that we should be focused on the timeless skills, not the current ones, that we shouldn't be chasing novelty. Now, what is vintage innovation? I want to share some thoughts on what it is. Vintage innovation happens when we use old ideas and tools to transform the present. Think of it as a mashup. It's not a rejection of new tools or new ideas. Instead, it's a reminder that sometimes the best way to move forward is to look back. Like all innovation, vintage innovation is inherently disruptive, but it's disruptive by pulling us out of the present tense and into something more timeless. Vintage innovation is a both and mindset. It's an overlap between the tried and true and the never tried. It's a mashup of the cutting edge and the old school tools. It's an overlap of timeless skills with new contexts. Vintage innovation is what happens when engineers use origami to design new spacecraft and when robotics engineers are studying nature for innovative designs. As a teacher, it's what happens when you do sketchnote videos, mashing up hand-drawn sketches with digital tools, or when you blend Socratic discussions with podcasting. It's that service learning project that combines the deeply human hands-on learning with photojournalism and data analysis. It's the old idea of shared commonplace books to explore new ideas and research that you then share with a bigger audience. It's a design project that includes duct tape and cardboard and sticky notes and markers, but also digital modeling and maybe even 3D printers. It's a reminder that innovation isn't about creating something new so much as something relevant, and that relevance is often disruptive more than novel. Sometimes relevant doesn't mean a deep dive into augmented reality or artificial intelligence. Sometimes it's a deep dive into a novel or a meandering philosophical discussion on what it means to be human. It's often in the analog that we find a different perspective. There's a great quote from T.S. Lewis who said it this way: a good poet will usually borrow from authors remote in time or alien in language or diverse in interest. To me, that's the key idea behind vintage innovation. It really comes down to redefining relevance, not as flashy and new, but as different and better. So what does this mean? I love this example from Google. For years, Google focused on recruiting the best computer science students who excelled in their studies. They assumed that innovation required students to be from the best universities, the top schools, top programs, you get the idea. But when they tested this hypothesis with their Project Oxygen report, they were shocked by the results. The top skills were soft skills, like being a problem solver, being teachable, communicating effectively, having empathy, making connection. Now, you could say that these are 21st century skills, but I would argue these are timeless skills. Hunter-gatherers had to know how to communicate and create and make and iterate. This isn't new. And the good news of it not being new is that it will be relevant 50, 60, 70 years from now. Instead of focusing on technology skills to compete with artificial intelligence or automation, students might just need to develop soft skills. They need to develop the deeply human mindsets and habits that will set them apart. In other words, they need to ask, what can we as humans do that machines can't? And the answer is oddly vintage. Artificial intelligence is amazing in its ability to determine patterns and follow algorithms, which is why students need to take a more vintage approach and learn how to think divergently to solve complex problems in unique ways. Now, will they use AI? Absolutely. But they won't have to compete with AI. Engineers will use 3D printing to make amazing products, but the best design will always start from a place of empathy. And in many cases, it involves studying nature through something called biomimicry. Moreover, some of the best creative approaches borrow from older disciplines. And so this is one of the big ideas I want to get into. Being relevant isn't about simply new. It's about different. Surrounded by a sea of knowledge, students will need to learn the vintage art of content curation. In a globalized world, they'll need to embrace the local. With augmented reality and virtual reality at their fingertips, students might just need more play and imagination and curiosity. In other words, to be more relevant, students need to be more different. Now, this isn't meant to be nostalgic. The past was pretty crappy in a lot of different ways. There are horrible things that we don't want to repeat. There's a lot of injustice that went on, and it continues to exist with things like white supremacy and injustice and problems with our system. But in the ed tech drive toward collective novelty, we often miss out on the classic and the vintage. But in a world heavily shaped by technology, students who are able to embrace the vintage are more innovative because they are different. So while sketch notes are great, so are sketch note videos. While hands-on simulations work well, students can then research these concepts using connected devices. A garden is valuable, but students can video chat with an expert at a greenhouse. It's amazing to bring in World War II soldiers to talk face-to-face about their experience. That's deeply vintage, but there's something amazing about taking that powerful talk and sharing it in a documentary, screening it in a movie theater, which my friend Trevor Muir did. And by the way, he's got this really great book on collaboration coming out in December. I cannot wait for that to come out. But anyway, that's the core idea. All right, so what does this mean for teachers? With vintage innovation, teachers ask the following questions. How do I innovate when I don't have the best technology? How can I use vintage tools and ideas and approaches in new ways? How can I use constraints to spark creativity? How do I blend together the tried and true with the never tried? Now, if you're a teacher, you are an innovator. You're an experimenter trying new strategies. You're an architect designing new learning opportunities. The reality is this: apps will continue to change. Gadgets break. Technology grows obsolete, but one thing remains. Teachers change the world. And one of the ways to do this is through having a vintage innovation approach. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy it, would you leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher? That would mean the world to me. Thank you again for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.